Oh, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. God is so awesome. The power of God is at work in the midst of us. And how exciting it is when God does the amazing, does the impossible, does the incredible in our lives. And we are able to see and know the power of God. Oh, saints of God, how awesome it is to be a child of God, to be a child of the King, God who answers prayer, God who redeems us out of the hand of the enemy, God who makes a way when it seems impossible. He brings down strongholds and he opens doors that no man can shut. The kingdom of God is advancing, and the people of God are able to demonstrate the kingdom and its power. As we fulfill the word of God, as we take on the image of Christ and likewise become the word made flesh, living out the very principles of God's word, knowing that he is enabling us and motivating us and moving us and shaking us. He's molding us and making us the people that he has called us to be. And the awesome thing about serving the Lord is that he is faithful to the end. He is faithful to the faithful. He is with those who are with him. And he stands even before us that we may hide behind him in the shadow of the Almighty, that we might be hidden in Christ and even be in the shelter of God. He covers us. He enables us and he makes a way for us. And we are talking about this month the righteous mind. The righteous mind. It's part of our An Excellent Spirit series. And as we are operating in the power and the strength of God, it requires a renewed mind, a transformed mind, a mind that is able to discern what is happening in the midst of us. And even as we look at all of the events that are taking place around the world, we can see that there is a strategy being worked out. But we ought not be fearful nor afraid, because we know that God has already laid out a plan to destroy the works of darkness. Satan is already defeated. And we know that it is the plan of God that is being worked out among us, that we are able to see even in the darkness. But it requires a righteous mind. It requires a mind that is able to see beyond what is seen and to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, to discern the ways of the Lord, to hold fast to the truths of his word, and to be faithful to God even until the very end. This is what God has called us to do. This is what the Lord is working out in the midst of us. We are the people of God, called by his name. And he is at work in the midst of us. And I am grateful, I am thankful today for all that he is doing, all that is taking place, because I know it is a sign of the times. It is a sign that the things that are forewritten in the word of God are coming to pass. And I pray that you have prepared yourself. I pray that you have prepared your family, your household, that you are grounded in the word of God, in the things of God, so that your mind would not be distorted by the things that you see. God has called us to be ready, that in the last days that men would be seeking pleasures rather than seeking God. And certainly we're living in a day and age where men are trying to revert back to the days of the book of Judges, where they do what is right in their own eyes. And people are seeking to do what is in their own minds as being right. But there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end is the way of destruction, the word of God says. And so I pray that you understand that there is a way of destruction, and you know that the works of Satan are identified by those who rob, kill, and destroy. Those are the traits of satanic activity. And when you recognize the work of Satan, you are able to stand in the gap in the power of God and begin to declare the word of the Lord, the truths of God. You're able to pray and ask God to intervene, dispatching angels to bring forth the righteousness of God. Saints of God, this is our role. This is our responsibility in this day and age, to be able to have insight into the things that are taking place, because God is at work. God is at work. And so I would like to begin today by a reading here in Luke 10, verse 28, and it says, "And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.'" Do this, and you will live. Jesus is here speaking to this lawyer who came to him asking him questions. And Jesus wraps up or summarizes his comments by saying, "Do this and you will live." And saints of God, as the people of God, we must learn to do what the word of God commands us to do, to do what Jesus has called us to do. Not just be hearers, not just be observers, but to do the will of God, and you will live. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When we do what God says, it will bring life to us. And so I would like to use as a theme today, the religious versus the righteous. The religious versus the righteous. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, join me as we pray. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And God, I just ask that you would arise in the midst of us, and that you would help us to have the mind of Christ, that we would have the ability to discern and to hear the voice of God, so that we may apply it and do what is right in the sight of God, that the will of God may be accomplished, that we might be the ones who stand in the gap in order to see the righteousness of Christ fulfilled. Lord, we pray, O God, that we would not operate in a spirit of fear, but in a love and the power of a sound mind. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you would continue to be glorified even in the midst of us, that we might be the examples to the unbelievers that we need to be, that souls may be saved, that hearts may be transformed and minds renewed by the power of God. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that it would spring forth, take root, and bring fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you thanks, O God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, God, he is able to do abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. And as we look at 1 John 3, verses 4 to 9, I want to begin by just laying this foundation for the fact that God is looking for Christians who are people of action, not just people who have words to lay out. But we must be able to do what it is that God has called us to do, be who God has called us to be. In verse 4 of 1 John 3, it says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And so, beginning with this very verse, we see that when we sin, sin is when we fall outside of what the parameters of God's word has given us to live within. When we operate outside of the parameters of God's word or the law of God, we are finding ourselves in a place of sinfulness. And God says, if we practice operating outside of the word of God, of the will of God, that we are going to find ourselves in a state of lawlessness. We become the lawless. And so we as the people of God immediately must understand that we are to operate within the laws of God. And he goes on and he says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him, in Christ, there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Saints of God, if I had have said these words myself, people would attack me for saying these things. People would begin to tell me how I need to be careful how I phrase my words. But this is 1 John, so I can say it freely. And I can say it confidently. And as I speak it, I am just merely repeating what God has already said. And these are the facts of the matter. And we're living in a day and age where people do not want to hear about the truths of God. And so we must understand that abiding in Christ, abiding in him, is what enables us to experience the power of God. It is what keeps us. It is what sustains us. It is what enables us so that we can rightly represent the power of God. It takes power to abide. It takes the strength of God to abide, to stay in that place, to stay in an atmosphere, in a room, if you will, where the presence of God is always at work. This is what it means to abide in the presence of God, to abide in the truths and the word of God. And as we abide in this place, we are renewed day by day. He goes on in 1 John and he says, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Christ, is righteous. This is great news for those of us who practice righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but many of you are familiar with the idea of practice. If you learn an instrument, you have to practice. If you want to learn a language, you have to practice. If you want to be good in sports, you have to practice. If you want to be good at whatever it is that you do for a living, it will take practice. And so, saints of God, everything takes practice. Everything that is of value, everything that is worth doing, anything that's worth investing in, anything that is worth achieving requires practice. That means you're going to make mistakes along the way. That's what it means to practice. It means that you're working out your mistakes. And so we like to understand the fact that if you practice doing the will of God, the right things according to the parameters of God's word, then that is what makes you righteous. The fact that you make mistakes is okay because you're practicing. You are practicing to do the right thing versus those who practice lawlessness. They practice operating outside of the will of God, practicing outside of listening and hearing what the word of God is so that they can know what it is they ought to be, that they ought to be doing. And this is the challenge that we face because not everyone wants to practice righteousness. Some people just want to assume that they're always right. And that is another problem, because you're not right. No one is always right, and no one is right. In fact, the Bible says there are none that are righteous. And if there are none that are righteous, then that means if you want to be righteous, it's going to take a lifetime of practice. And only Christ can redeem you, and you will finally be transformed in that day. And one day, you shall be like him when you see him as he is. That's what the word of God tells us. But in the meantime, little children, let us not be deceived. Let us understand that the one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And so the one who practices sin is of, oh, Lord Jesus. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Woo! I didn't write this. And so the one who is operating outside of the will and the plan of God is practicing sin. And the one who practices sin is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this very purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil in your life, in my life, and in the life of everyone in the world. It takes practice to see it manifested. It takes the practicing of righteousness to see it come to pass. He goes on and he says, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Oh, I love this verse. This is powerful because it's essentially saying the Holy Spirit of God, the seed of the Spirit of God is within you and it keeps you. And if you have been born of God, then you will find it hard pressed to go against the working of the Spirit of God in your life after you have been abiding in God. You see, the challenge is you must abide. It's the abiding that brings about the strength and the power of the seed. And it's the seed and the abiding in Christ working together that gives strength to overcome sin. Certainly the practice or the habit of sin. And so God wants to see us free, and he has given us the tools and the resources in order to have victory in our lives. It says in verse 25 of Luke 10, a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And this is right after a very important incident or event that took place, where the disciples had gone out two by two, the 72, and they had experienced the power of God. They saw that God had given them power over Satan, that they were able to cast out devils. They were able to heal the sick. They were able to bring the gospel to people. And they saw miraculous things take place, and they came back rejoicing. And so when they came back, Jesus was rejoicing with them, and he said, "You ought to be glad, but be glad for the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." There's more to rejoicing over these little things. The fact is, you're a child of God. You've been born of God. And now you have the power of God operating in your life. And you ought to rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Saints, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you. You should always remember the thing to rejoice over, the thing to hold on to, is the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I am grateful to God. And so this lawyer, someone of authority, not just any commoner, he is someone who's educated and aware, and so he's asking intriguing questions. And so he earnestly wants to know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he says to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? In other words, what is your interpretation of what the Word of God says? Because how you perceive the Word of God is how God is going to relate it to you. And he's going to relate it to us according to our understanding. And that's why the more we understand, the more we're held accountable for. The more we know, the more we're expected to apply. And so this lawyer was being asked of Jesus this very question so that Jesus could hold him accountable to what was already in his own heart. And if he was in need of correction, then Jesus would have corrected him. And so he asks him this question, and he is responding, and he quotes the word of God. He actually quotes the Old Testament, and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Saints of God, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and with all our strength, and with all our mind. You see, these areas, the heart, the soul, your strength, your efforts, your energy, and your mind, you need to invest in God. You need to abide in Christ. You need to abide in the word of God, in the will of God, in the ways of God. And then finally, you're your neighbor as yourself. You must love your neighbor as yourself. And so this is a very powerful phrase, and we know that this is the summation of the law of God, and it's something that we must all grab hold of and understand. Verse 28 says, "And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.'" Hallelujah. Saints of God, if you can fulfill this one commandment, if you can take this summation of the word of God, and if this is all you know, all you understand, the word of God says, you will live. In other words, you will have life within your life. You will have enhanced life. You will have eternal life. And eternal life means life that is everlasting. It is the fullness of all that God intended life to be, and that for all eternity. The power and the glory of God at work in our lives. And so verse 29 says, "But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Saints of God, this is where the religious kick in. This is where our religiosity, because now it's painting a picture of trying to find a way to wiggle out of being held accountable so that we don't have to identify the fact that we have to be good to everyone. We must love everyone. This is what's at the root of the premise. But here this lawyer is looking for a legal loophole. He's trying to find a way out of the commandments of God. And so many people are religious, and we know this man is religious because he was able to quote from the law of Moses. And there are many people who can quote the word of God. They can quote the scriptures. We've seen governors quote the scripture. We've seen presidents quote the scripture. We have seen people in various positions of authority within the world around us today quoting scripture. But that is not what it's all about. You see, that's religiosity. That is religion at work. But when you are the righteous, it is a place of practice. That is what you practice. The righteous practice the word of God. It is a way of life for the righteous. They don't just pull out the Bible when it's convenient to speak the word of God or to tell of what it is that you're trying to overcome or the point that you're trying to make to somehow justify yourself. So he says, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And the lawyer stood up and he puts him to the test, and he says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answers, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Saints of God, this is the key. This is what God has called us to do and who we are to be. Those who practice these things so that we can have life in us. We must have the life of God so that we don't go through life just justifying ourselves. So many people are going through life just justifying themselves. And so Jesus replies to the man, and he says, with this little story, and I want to point out here that this story is a true story. And it's not just a parable, but it is a true story. And we can come to that conclusion because this entire chapter is made up of real life events. There are no parables in the sense that Jesus traditionally shares parables, but these are actual stories and events that have taken place in this entire chapter of Luke chapter 10. And so Jesus is telling a story, and it is believed that this is something that he observed, very similar to when the woman was at the church there and was giving in the offering and gave two mites. And so Jesus had an observation at one point in his life, in his ministry, and he's recalling this story about what had happened. And so Jesus says to him, and he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Saints of God, this is something that many people do. People do this all the time. I remember when I worked in Manhattan, I used to walk the streets on the way to work from traveling from the bus station. And as I would walk, very often there would be a beggar or a homeless person or someone sitting on cardboard or laying on the side of the road of the street, and people would be passing by. And it was very common to see people actually walk off the sidewalk, down into the street, and pass by just so they wouldn't have to get too close to the man. And this is the kind of thing that happens all the time. People would drive in their cars, and you pull up to the corner, and in the city, they would have the old squeegee guys. Remember that? They'd have these squeegee guys with the buckets and the squeegee and the dirty water, and they'd want to try to come up and clean your windows. And I would see cars leave like 5 car lengths of a gap between them and the car in front of them because they didn't want to pull up to where the squeegee guy was, because they didn't want to have to give to the guy who was a beggar on the side of the road holding the sign, "I need food." And so people will do whatever they can do to avoid being a neighbor, helping someone else. And so this priest, now the priest is of interest because you would expect a priest to be someone who would be helpful. The priest, he represents pastors or church leaders, those who would be authority in the things of God. People who would know what the will and the word of God is. You would expect them because they instruct others. And yet, we pass by and we do not offer a helping hand. And so many times people are in need of help and they can't get help even from their own pastor, leader, or helper. And so this is the story as Jesus is telling it. And he goes on and it says, likewise a Levite. And the Levite represents the average church member. It represents those who serve, who are involved. Maybe you're an usher or a greeter, or maybe you're someone who is working in, and you're involved in the church. You're someone who's an active church member, and you're someone who is serving God. You represent as a child of God. You pray for others, you intercede, you stand in the gap, you do whatever it is God has called you to do. That is the role of the Levite. And it says that he came to the place and he saw him and passed by on the other side. And I picture this as one passed by on one side and went around him, and the other one passed by on the other side and went around him. But in either case, people who were religious and knew what the will of God would be and had an opportunity to demonstrate the will of God bypassed the opportunity. And saints of God, we ought not be people who bypass opportunities. There are many times when God is giving us an opportunity to demonstrate the love of God, that we would be able to speak up when someone is speaking nonsense and trash, when someone is saying or doing something that is not right, that is incorrect. It is the people of God who ought to arise, and we ought to stand in the gap for what is right. And so in verse 33, he says, a Samaritan. The Samaritan represented someone who was unclean. The Jews saw the Samaritan as those who were in rebellion against the word of God and against the will of God, because they married outside of their race. And so they are seen as those who are unacceptable. And yet Jesus is using this Samaritan as an example. And he shows how the Samaritan had the heart of God. And it says, who was on a journey came up upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion. Saints of God, this is what happens when you abide in the presence of God. This is what happens when you're practicing righteousness. You begin to be transformed from the inside. You begin to be changed in the renewing of your mind, and you begin to have a heart of empathy, and you begin to have compassion for others, for those who are in need, who are in trouble. I know that this takes practice. This doesn't just happen. It requires abiding in the presence of God. It takes practice by working and interacting with people around you. When you have a relationship with people, it helps you to have a better understanding of them. I believe that many of the things that are taking place in our society today, with racism and all these challenges and people hating on each other and placing people in positions of disparity and using the system to hold back and hinder people, this is all a work of Satan. And it is rooted in the fact of there is a lack of understanding. There is a lack of knowledge. There is a lack of yieldedness and submission to God. And because people do not abide in the presence of God, their hearts are not being transformed. Because they do not abide in the word of God, their hearts are not being renewed. Their minds are not being changed. And the last thing is, you must abide in mixed company. People who do not abide in mixed company lack experience and relationship with people of different cultures and different backgrounds and different ways of thinking. And because of a lack of personal relationships, people are not able to have compassion and understanding. And this is why we need to be in the midst of the place where God has called us to be, so that we would be able to relate and understand the needs and the feelings of others. Not everyone is who you think they are. People are much deeper, much broader, much wider, and much more in depth than we realize people are. And as we build relationships with one another, as we build relationships with God, we are able to see the power of God at work in our lives. It says the Samaritan was on a journey. The Samaritan came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Don't you find that interesting, that he poured oil and wine on them? Saints of God, you and I need oil and wine in our lives. You see, the oil was for anointing. It's the anointing that destroys the yokes of bondage. The anointing is what is poured out. That means you're being set aside for the master's use. That you are being commissioned for divine purpose. And then there is the wine, which represents new life. that you would be able to experience renewal and revival. The wine is, it represents the blood of Jesus. It means that your sins are forgiven. It means you are washed clean and that you are made new. Oil and wine are what you and I need in our lives. We need the oil and the wine poured upon us for the work of God to be manifested. It says he put him on his own beast and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. Saints of God, this is what compassion looks like. It's not just the word, well, he had compassion on him and he moved on. Well, compassion requires a response. You see, when you are operating in righteousness, you're able to have the ability to have a sense of responsibility to act. And so you must act upon the very thing that lays before you in your heart, the very opportunity to do the will of God. And so this Samaritan responded with acts of righteousness. Righteousness is an act of God. It is when we obey the will and the word of God. It says, on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. And he said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He opens up a line of credit with the innkeeper. And essentially, you could say he took out a loan in order to pay the expenses of this man who needed help. Saints of God, you and I, we need to take note of this. We need to learn how to do this and live. Do this and live. We want to live in the fullness of God, in the power of God, in the strength of God. It says, which of these three, Jesus says, do you think proved to be a neighbor to him? And this word proved is an interesting word because it means genomai. And genomai, it means to emerge or to become. That's a very interesting word because it's translated proved. And that's telling us that to be proving something means you're becoming, you're emerging. In other words, he wasn't that before, but as the situation required an act, he began to transform into what he needed to become a neighbor. He became a neighbor. A metamorphosis took place within him because he was abiding in God. He was transformed from just a typical Samaritan into a representative of the kingdom of God. He was transformed into becoming a neighbor. And this man who fell into the hands of robbers, into thieves' hands. Oh, saints of God, this is powerful. God wants to transform you into someone who can become what the need of the moment requires. You can be transformed. You may not be. You might say, well, that's not my gifting. Oh, that's not my ability. Well, I don't have any money to help. Oh, I don't know. In that moment, if you have been abiding in God, if you have been walking with him, and if you have been practicing the righteousness of God, the word of God coming alive in you, the Holy Spirit of God will genome you into what you need to be so that you can be a true child of God in the time of need. And so he says, the one who showed mercy toward him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Saints of God, go and do the same. You will do this and you will live. If you are a doer of the word, you will see the manifestations of God arise in your life. He says, this is the promise which he himself made to us in 1 John 2:25, eternal life. There is a promise of God. It is eternal life. God wants to give you eternal life. And if you have eternal life in you, you have the power to become, to be transformed, to genomai into God, what God wants and needs you to be in that moment, in your time of need. Oh, saints of God, he is so awesome and faithful. He goes on and he says in verse 26, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Notice that there are always people who are trying to deceive you. There are always people who are trying to get you to think outside of the parameters of God's word, to believe that actions and thoughts and ways that are contrary to the word of God are somehow right. But saints of God, don't be deceived. Don't you be deceived. The things that I have written, he says to you, concerning those who are trying to deceive you, as for you, the anointing, hallelujah, which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Saints of God, you know what you need to do when the situations arise. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God will tell you what is right and what is wrong. And when you are abiding in Christ and you're abiding in God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Lord will arise in you and it will genomai you into what you need to be so you can do the will of God. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you are grasping this today. He says, now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. When Christ comes, I pray that you are ready, saints of God. I pray that you understand that these are the days that represent the last days. And as we see what is taking place, many challenging things and times are coming upon us, and we need to be ready. We need to have the right mind so that we can be what we need to be, so that we can experience the power of God. I pray that you are not religious today, but that you are the righteous, that you are operating in the power and the presence of God. He says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Saints of God, I pray that you're practicing righteousness today. I pray that you're more than just a religious person going through the motions of going to church or reading your Bible and quoting scripture and saying all these things. And that you're not just sitting back watching on TV and looking at all the things that are happening, playing armchair judge and jury and executioner, but that you are operating with compassion, that you are operating and you are out there and you're building relationships and you're talking to people and you're enabling people to come to a knowledge of God where their hearts can be transformed, their minds renewed, where the power of God can be made evident. I pray that you are doing what needs to be done to help people come into a right relationship with God. I pray that you are abiding in Christ, that you are maintaining and cultivating your relationship with God. Verse 28 says, and he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Luke 10:28. Do this and you will live. Saints of God, if you do what the word of God says, if you abide in his presence, in his will and in his ways, you will be recognized as the righteous versus the religious. You will be seen as more than someone who is religious, but you will be seen as someone who is the representative of the righteousness of God. Saints of God, let the Spirit of the Lord
Denomai you into who you need to be for these last and evil days, that you might be able to operate with a heart of compassion, being able to represent the kingdom and the power of God, that the glory of God would be operating in you through the righteous mind of Christ, that you would be operating even with an excellent spirit, that the glory of God would prevail, that the will of God may be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
In your life, as the Spirit of God genomizes you, as situations come your way, as you find yourself in conversations, as you find yourself in the midst of various people and situations and scenarios, that you would be transformed into what and who you need to be to represent the kingdom of God with power. We know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And many people are suffering today because they are outside of the parameters of God. And when you begin to help people come to a place of righteousness where the practicing of the will and the word of God is taking place, it will transform you, it will empower you, it will enable you to be all that God has called you to be. Well, I pray, saints of God, that God is molding you and shaping you, that he's using you to change the world, that you are a part of the righteousness of God, that the word of God is more than just words, but that it would be something that has life in it, that there is an anointing upon you, that oil and wine are cultivating your life, that you are being molded and stirred into the
people of God, the person that God has called you to be, so that the glory of God may be evidenced in your life. Well, I pray that you know him in the pardon of your sins. And if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart and into your life, then you don't have what you need in order to be what you need to be for this day and age. You will be deceived by those who are trying to deceive us. But we will not be deceived, because God gives his people revelation, knowledge, and understanding. And even those things that are hidden in the darkness, the Bible says they will be brought to life. They will come to life. And even as we are operating in the presence of God, in the will of God, according to the word of God, we will see God's powerful hand at work through his people. God will work through you, and he will transform your life and make you the person that you need to be, so that the glory of God can be manifested in your life. Well, I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us, and that you would transform us into the image of Christ, that we would not operate in fear, but in power and love and a sound mind, that we would have discerning wisdom, that the Spirit of God would be cultivated in our life, that the Holy Ghost would be constantly molding and shaping us for the move of the Spirit of God, to be used of God, to be enhanced for such a time as this, that our friends and our neighbors would know the very reality of the Word of God, of the power of God, and of the reality of his life and existence in this 21st century, in this day of coronavirus, in this day of unrest, where people are trying to do what is right in their own eyes. But God has a word for such a time as this. And you and I have been born for this day, that the will and the word of God may be manifested to a lost and dying generation, and that people would know that he is who he says he is, and that the will and the ways of God would be accomplished in the midst of his people. Well, Lord, we thank you for all these things that you are doing even in the midst of us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are you? Oh, yes. Hey, I am a friend of God.